You know, our website is a thing of faith. I don't know whether you know it or not. Everything that we do here, either Randall or I, we support pretty much all of it. We have a few little offerings now and then. And some of our classmates give us offerings, which we really appreciate. But we've kept this website up for almost 20 years now. And people tried to steal it from us, demand that we take it down, all kinds of stuff in the past. But it stayed up anyway. By faith, we keep on buying the CDs that produce the masters and the cameras that wear out and the microphones that quit and the microphone cords and all of that. And I keep on preaching. And we didn't know for a long time how many classes were going out on the new website, discovertheworkwithdrjim.com. The last time that we had a counter on it, we had to change from PowWeb to Yahoo, which was a whole lot more money. All the time, money, money, money. But we didn't have a counter. Yahoo does not have a counter. And we didn't know what's going on out there at all. The last month, you know, we are very privileged because we can come here and we can preach God's Word. But in places in the world, you can't do that. Saudi Arabia. Mecca. You have a Bible in Mecca, you're a dead man. Places like that, China, where it's against the law to have churches. Well, on sermon audio, there is a download. And we can tell that it's going to Saudi Arabia. We can tell it's going to China. 1 month there, we had, right before the Olympics, we had 1,522 hours of downloads. 1 month from China. Finally, this month, Randall kicked out a couple of $100 for a web stats. And I want you to look at this. This green area is China. That's where it's illegal to have the Word of God and to preach the Word of God. They wanted me to go and preach to them about 20 years ago, but they wanted some preacher to preach for 24 hours because these people, they were so hungry for the Word of God that they could not. They wanted somebody to not preach for 30 minutes or 45 minutes, come over there and preach for 24 hours. Well, I couldn't go at that time. But look at that. Here's the U.S. That's blue. And China is green. Okay? And the Russia, I'm going to show you this. This is consistent. This was April, March. There's blue. There's China. Those people are hungry for God's Word. One missionary came to our class a few years ago, and they asked me in India one time about 10 years ago if they could download and distribute all of my messages there. She said, this is the best foundational Baptist teaching that we've ever had. This is the Southern Baptist Convention. And I said, have at it. Download them and distribute them. One of the students came here who was a missionary. He knew who I was because they were studying my work in India.
It's all in English, isn't it?
It's all in English.
Okay.
Here is blue. The Ukraine is red. China is green. Look how hungry those people are for God's Word. And that was in January. May. Look at that. The blue is America. Green is China. But it's going all over the world in places where the Word of God couldn't get out. Here's another one. Blue is America. Green is China. Red there is the Ukraine. Every month, it's the same story. Look at that green China. Every month. Maryland, we sacrifice every month to put this website up. Is it worth it? Look at that. They're trying again. They can't have the Word of God. They can't go to church. We have a church in Japan. The church that's in Japan that study our Word there, there is not a church for 250 miles. They say they're all pagans over there.
Well, that's just some of it. It tells you what sermons they download. It's not as good as I wish it was, but it at least tells you the top 50 sermons and what they're downloading.
that way. They love these Bible and Eight Ages classes. Yes. It's kind of like North Korea, like you were talking in North Korea. They're all underground. They'll take you and put you in prison there. You'll go to prison.
Can anything you've ever done be downloaded from your website, or does it have to stay a certain amount? You know, you have to delete stuff off that you can't get to anymore?
No.
Everything
it's there. Everything. There's thousands of classes there.
Everything you've ever done is
that's,
there.
That's for 40 years, it's there. And we're putting more stuff on the time. Randall works so hard. You wouldn't believe how many hours. Sometimes I know he's worked 70 hours a week on our website, plus 40 hours a week job. We have had all kinds of trouble with him trying to take it down. We had to move the website 2 or 3 times. When you have to move the website, you have to move all those thousands of classes. But it's worth it, isn't it? It's worth it. I preach for free. I don't get paid. How many preachers you know preach for free for 40 years? That's something, you know. I mean, but I do it for the Lord. Well, our class today. Let's go to our class. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's see. You have a mouthful still, brother? All right. Doris, would you like to come up here and lead us in prayer? Huh? Would that be all right? Okay. This is my cousin.
Dear Father in Heaven, Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your Son. And be with us and just help the word get to other countries. We love everybody so much. God gave us a life and freedom. And we're so appreciative of it in America. Just help us to help other countries in ways that we can touch each life. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Doris. You preach the word of God and just hope you know that it's going to do its job. Travis Hubbard's father went into Arkansas one time to preach a revival message there in a church that nobody showed up for a week. He had the keys to the door of the church and his family was there and they were getting up there singing. He was preaching for a week. And nobody came in the door. The preacher didn't even show up that was a church part-time pastor. He couldn't get there. Nobody showed up. 10 years later, he was preaching in the seminary, teaching in the seminary, and a man came up to him and he said, I was outside underneath the tree all the time that you were preaching. I wouldn't come in the door. He said, I surrendered to preach and was saved outside of that church house. And he said, I'm here going to the seminary. He didn't walk in. He didn't know it. He did any good at all. He just preached. Nothing was recorded or anything, you know. It was done, but God used it. God used the messages. In Luke, the 4th chapter, there's more here in these first few verses here than the eye can actually see just on the surface. I'm going to open up some history to you today that is not well known. You have to dig in a lot of roots, and especially in the Hebrew roots and Hebrew culture. I'm having a ball teaching Hebrew on Sunday afternoon. We're doing the book of Exodus, the second class today. And it was fantastic last week. The people, somebody looked on the internet and they watched the class. They said, that class was 80 minutes long. I said, yeah, because it's 80 minutes long, because that was the end of the tape. It was longer than that. They didn't want to quit. Last Wednesday night, the Gospel of John, they didn't want to quit. The class ran real long. Because they don't want to quit. I'll quit at 1 hour, and they're not ready to quit. And they said, well, what about this? Or what about this question? What about that question? Well, let's look at some deep stuff here. The garden and the desert. The garden and the desert. We know that God put the first Adam in the Garden of Eden, which was a paradise that God planted in Genesis, the 2nd chapter. Go there real quick. Genesis chapter 2. Let's look at it quickly. We got a lot of ground to cover today. I don't know what I can cover or not, but I'm going to try. Genesis 2. And verse number 15, it says, "And the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to guard it with his life." That's literally what it means in Hebrew. "And the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, commanded the man, saying, From every tree of the garden you will eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall eat. You shall not eat from it, for in the day that you eat from it you shall begin the process of meals, dying." And then the Jehovah Elohim said to him, and every time he's speaking to him, he's got Jehovah Elohim, the word Jehovah, that's a covenant God. That's the one that saves our souls. "And he said to him, It's not good for man to be alone. I will make for him a helper suitable for him." All right? Verse number 21, "The Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, calls the deep sleep. He hypnotized Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his," literally what it says in Hebrew, "he took from all of his sides, and he formed woman and closed up the flesh instead of her," is what it says in Hebrew. "And Jehovah Elohim fashioned the woman from the rib and the bones and the fleshes and the bloods," is what it says. "And he brought her to the man." Well, in 3 and 1 it says, "And now the serpent became more crafty, deceitful than any other beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Indeed has God said, You shall not eat from the tree of the garden." Now that's the one that they were supposed to, Adam was supposed to be guarding the garden from. Right now here he calls him Satan Nahash. Nahash. You have to kind of clear your throat when you say that. Nahash. Well, he was there. Well, Adam was an absolutely prime paradise. That garden was a paradise, and who planted a garden? God did it, and boy, I'm going to tell you something. Maryland has planted some beautiful gardens in the past. I have seen them. They were looked like little masterpieces of gardening, but God did better in that garden. It was perfect. God did better in the garden. He planted a garden there, and he put man in it, and he said, "You guard it." Guard it from what? Nahash and his evilness. In Genesis 1 and 2. Genesis 1 and 2. Go back to Genesis 1 and 2 real quick. God created the heavens and the earth. It says, Barashith Bara Elhim Et Hashemayim We Et Haaretz. In beginnings, in one of the beginnings, God created the heavens and the earth. And then it says, and the earth, we haaretz, hakyal tohu wavohu. And the earth, she became formless and void, and darkness became over the faces of the deep, and Spirit God was mourning over the faces of the waters. That deep. We're going to look at that. I want you to remember the deep. The deep. That deep there had demons in it. That deep, God was sweeping and cleaning house. He began to clean house from what happened originally. God made a creation and the devil got involved. Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28 tells you what happened during that period of time. Satan destroyed God's creation. And down in that deep, and that deep was evil. Evil had become over the face of the earth, and God began to separate the dark from blackness, evil from truth, and good from evil. Ra is evil. Say Ra. That sounds like the Egyptian god Ra, doesn't it? And good is Tov. Tov. Alright? Luke 4. And Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit and returned from Jordan and was led about by the Spirit into the wilderness. Look at that word wilderness right there. That's Adramu. That is that's the desert. Out in the desert. Now, I'm going to go back so you'll understand what in the world is going on here. The Jews understood this. You don't understand this.
The Jews understood this. You don't. Let me get to you a little bit of understanding here. Now, in the book of Enoch is the foundation of the whole of this story today. In the 60th chapter, end of the day shall be distributed for food to two monsters. Two monsters. Monsters. What is a monster? Huh?
A dragon?
A dragon is a monster. What is a monster? What is a monstrosity?
Deformed.
Something that's deformed. Thank you, Brother Mike. Something that's deformed. Okay? The earth became deformed. Okay? In Genesis 1 or 2, the earth was deformed. It was formed perfection, and then it became deformed. Okay? And shall be distributed for food two monsters, a female monster whose name is Leviathan.
Where are you reading?
I'm reading from the book of Enoch, which you can go on the front side. If you go and study the Word with Dr. Jim or discover the Word with DrJim.com, right on there, you go down there and go to chapter 60 and verse 6 and 7. You can read it for yourself. The female monster's name is Leviathan, dwelling in the depths of the sea. Now, when Jesus cast out the demons out of the demoniac, they begged Jesus not to throw them into the bottomless pit. According to Jewish philosophy and rabbinical history, where was the gates of hell? Where? The Sea of Galilee. The bottom of the Sea of Galilee. And you know who guarded the gates of hell? Leviathan. This Leviathan right here, which is a demonic beast, a demonic monstrosity. A monster. A sea monster. Okay? This is a sea monster guarding the gates of hell in the Sea of Galilee. When the sudden storms came up on the Sea of Galilee, now we got geological and meteorological explanations for that today. But when the storm came up out there on the Sea of Galilee, they considered it was Leviathan stirring the waters from below. And opening the gates of hell and distributing demons on earth. And the male monster's name is Behemoth. And he is the god, basically, the one moving in the invisible wilderness. Desert. We have a god of the sea, and these are demon gods. Demon monsters, monsters of the sea, and monsters of the desert. Now Jesus is going to go out and see and meet the monster of the desert. The monster of the desert. Now, in Job 41, I know a lot of people use this verse, this chapter and this verse, to tell that dinosaurs are in the Old Testament. Okay? But let's go there and see what it actually says. From Hebrew. Not from any translation. Okay. Let's let the Bible speak. Speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible speaks. That's what the Church of Christ said. Yeah. All right, Job 41. Can you draw out Leviathan? That's what it says with a fish hook. But that's not what it says in Hebrew. The word in Hebrew is liar. Liar. Can you draw out the liar with a fish hook? Who is the liar?
Satan.
Who is it talking about here? He's talking about Satan. Satan. Satan as if he was Leviathan. Okay. Now, they interpret it as Leviathan, but that's an interpretation. That's not a translation. The translation is that it's the liar, and we know who the liar is. Who is the liar? He's called the serpent of old, isn't he? He's called a fiery red dragon in the book of Revelation. We're talking about Satan here. Or pressed down his tongue with a cord. Who can hold his mouth? Who can put Satan in check?
Who's the only one?
Christ. Yeah.
Can you put a rope around his nose? Or pierce his jaw with a hook? He's talking about catching that demon monster in the Sea of Galilee. The Leviathan. Will he make any supplications to you, or will he speak to you in soft words? Well, does he? What's the word Nahash mean? It means to whisper. It means to prophesy. That's what it means. To whisper, to hiss. Will he make for him a servant forever? Will you take him for a servant forever? You think any of you are going to tie a knot in the old devil's tail and take him and make the servant out of him? He's supernatural, isn't he? He's beyond our world. Will you play with him as a bird? Does he play with you as a bird? Huh? Has Satan ever bothered you? He's been right behind me for 60-something years. Or will you bind him for your maidens? Or will the traders bargain over him? Will they divide him among the merchants? Can you fill his skin with harpoons or his head with fishing spears? Lay your hand on him. Remember the battle. You will not do it again. Behold, your expectation is false, and you will be laid low even in the sight of him. No one is so fierce that he dares to arouse him. Who then is he that can stand before me? Who has given me to me that I should repay him? Whatever is under the whole heaven is mine, even Satan. They take this and try to say that this is a dinosaur. Okay? And the 40th chapter also, the 40th chapter, now, in the 40th chapter, verse 15 now, now we have Behemoth. This is a Behemoth right here. That's Leviathan right there, and this is Behemoth. Behemoth. Okay? Now this is basically, what are they coming from? Where did these two terms come from? Where did they originate? From the book of Enoch. What are they talking about? Supernatural beings that are evil and powerful. Okay? Now, Behemoth, is it, behold now, Behemoth, which I made as well as you, he eats grass like an ox. Behold now, his strength is in his loins, behold his power is in the muscles of his belly, and he bends his tail like a cedar. And the sinews of his thighs are knit together, and his bones are like tubes of bronze, and his limbs are like bars of iron. And he is the first of the ways of God, let his maker bring near his sword. Now, many people say that this is the dinosaurs that lived in the old. And I'm going to tell you something. God created dinosaurs. That was in the first world. That was in the first world. That's in the world in Genesis 1 and 1. Okay? Whether this is a dinosaur or not is debatable. But we know that it's a behemoth. And the primary interpretation of this book in the book of Job is from what angle? Those Jews knew about the book of Enoch, all of them. The book of Enoch goes back from the seventh man from Adam. Okay? They all believe this. The Muslim world today is full of the book of Enoch and the book of Jasher. Okay? All of those people knew those historical books. Jude quotes the book of Enoch directly. Every book in the New Testament quotes the book of Enoch. In some place or another. Okay? Psalm 74 and verse 14. Psalm 74 and verse 14. Thou did crush the heads of the Leviathan. Like Leviathan had a lot of heads. Remember in Roman and Greek mythology, the three-headed, four-headed, seven-headed animals? What are they? They're all monsters, aren't they? They all represent one thing, and that is something that is evil. Thou didst give him as food for the creatures of the wilderness. All right? It's talking about something that happened a long time ago. All right? Exodus 7 and verse 10, we find out there what happened when Moses and Aaron went before Pharaoh. Aaron threw his rod down, according to the book of Jasher. And what did it become? What did it become? A tannin, a dragon. Like Leviathan. Like Leviathan. Like Leviathan. A dragon like Leviathan. Leviathan is a very large monster. When Adam, in the garden, according to the book of Jasher, was handed the rod that God created the heavens and the earth with, which had a sapphire stone in the top of it. And he handed him that rod, and that rod was handed down from one person to another, according to Jewish and rabbinical history in the book of Jasher. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, ended up with that because he got it after Joseph fell from power in Egypt, his family. He stuck it out in his garden, and no man could move it. Remember the stone, the sword and the stone? That's the story from Jasher's, or from Jethro's rod that he stuck in his garden. No man could pull it out. He said, when the right man comes along, he will pull it out. When Moses came, he pulled the rod right out of the garden. There was no problem. And he took that rod to Egypt with him to prove that he had authority, because this was Adam's rod, this was Joseph's rod, this was Jacob's rod, this was their rods that they had carried and handed down from person to person, which had the genealogy all the way back to Adam on it. Okay? And they threw that rod down with the power that God created the heavens and the earth. It became a dragon. A spiritual Leviathan. When Jannes and Jambres threw their rods down, what did they become according to the Hebrew text? Huh? They become dragons too. The Leviathans. Like the demon dragons. Satan, the embodiment of Satan. They had power, they had the power of Satan in them. But who ate who? Aaron's dragon ate the other Leviathans or dragons. Okay? By the way, in Isaiah or Psalm 74 and verse 14, that word is tananim, which is the same thing as a tannin. Psalm 104 and 26, Isaiah 27 and verse 1, Job 26 and verse 13, and Job 29 and 17. 29 and 17 talks about removing the things of that dragon, of that snake, Nahash. Behemoth, Job 40 and verse 15, and then Joel 1 and 20. Job 40 and 15 through 24. And Joel 1 and 20 talked about Behemoth. Behemoth, by the way, most Bible translators in the lexicon say that it is a hippopotamus or an elephant. That's what they say it was. Okay? But it has a spiritual connotation. The spiritual connotation that is something powerful and evil, and Behemoth was the god, the demon monster over the wilderness, out in the wilderness. When the scapegoat was turned loose, it was turned loose where? They confessed their sins on the scapegoat, and they turned the scapegoat loose in the desert, in the wilderness. What they actually did, they took him out there, and they took him to a tall cliff and shoved him over the cliff. But you know what they expected to happen to that their sins? And the scapegoat out in the wilderness, what do you think that they expected was going to happen to him? Behemoth was going to get it. Behemoth. The demon monster of the wilderness. Now Jesus, instead of being put in the garden, in the paradise, is exposed to Behemoth. out in the desert. Out to the god of all evil, which is really who? Satan. Now, with all of this information in the background, now let's look at the Scriptures. Okay? And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan. What does Jordan mean? What? We're in Mark, Luke, and verse 4 and 1. Luke 4 and 1. Okay. He returned from Jordan. What does Jordan mean? Jordan means to descend. By the way, Jared means to descend. That was one of Moses' names, which we're going to discover in the book of Exodus. Moses had about 10 names, by the way. Who named him Jared? Who named Moses Jared? You'll find out what his father named him, what his mother named him, what his cousin named him, what his grandpa named him, his great-grandpa named him. They had all kinds of names for Moses. Okay? Who named him Jared? Marilyn? Who named Moses Jared? Miriam. Remember that now. Miriam named him Jared.
Miriam,
his sister. Which means Mary or bitterness. He returned from Jordan and he was led about by the Spirit into the region of Behemoth. Okay? Out in the wicked, those Arabs out in the desert, they say they were afraid to spit. Did you know that? Because they knew that they would be spitting on a demon. They are afraid. They had more magic potions to protect them from the wilderness than Carter's got little liver pills. And that's where Jesus is going now, out there in the region of Behemoth. Right into the cockpit, the bull ring with Satan himself. For 40 days, while he was tempted by who? The devil, Behemoth. The real one now. Behemoth represented the devil. But now he's getting the granddaddy of them all, Satan himself, is going to tempt him. And he ate nothing during those days when they had ended, he became hungry. And the devil said to him, This is the real demon out there. And now those Arabs, when they went to walk through, and when the Jews walked through the wilderness, they were afraid of all these demons out there. But they are just demons. They're demons every place, not just in the wilderness. We even get them at churches. If you are the Son of God, that's what it says, but literally in Greek, what does it say? Since you are the Son of God. Since you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Now, did Jesus ever create bread later? During his ministry, we know two times that he created bread. What two times did he create bread? When he fed 5,000, when he fed 7,000, he created bread. Now he can do that, couldn't he? And Jesus answered and said to him, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." Okay? And this devil is leading him around out here. This is the demon, the monster of the wilderness, leading him around. They go out there and they're afraid. The Jews and the Arabs are afraid of going out in the desert because they think something's going to get them. Have you ever slept in the desert? You ever sleep in the desert out there in the desert? Anybody ever sleep in the desert?
Yeah.
I remember one time.
It was in a hot desert. It's
pretty cold at nighttime, isn't it? When I went to Paul's Valley the first time and visited my family, I was in the second grade. 1950-something. They picked me up. My Uncle Jim picked me up in his camper. And we rode in the back of that camper all the way to Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, and he dumped us off there. And we slept in the desert 2 or 3 nights out in the desert with all them wild animals and all them snakes and scorpions and things. And they come out at night, don't they? And he
verse number 5, and he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the cosmos in a moment of time. Talking about the whole cosmos, the whole world. That out in space and on terra firma. Showed all the kingdoms to him. Okay? Does this open up mean a little more to you now than it did before when you know the history of all this business? He showed him all the spiritual kingdoms and all the material kingdoms on the earth and in the universe. And the devil said to him, I will give you all of this domain and all of its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Who is the God of this age? Who is the God of this age? Who is the God, little God, of this age? Satan. Verse number 7. Therefore, if you worship me, if you bow down before me, it shall be yours. Now, Satan made a legitimate offer to Jesus. Jesus was human, and he was God. Jehovah became flesh and dwelt among mankind. What?
And he'd been out there for 40 days.
He'd been out there 40 days without food and water. Out there among this Greek, the real demon now, not a make-believe. There are demons in the wilderness, there's demons in the ocean, there's demons wherever you go. But this here, Satan himself, was messing with him all the time he was there for 40 days. And then we have conversation between Jesus, Jehovah in flesh, and we have conversation between him and Satan recorded in inspired word right here. So this really happened. This wasn't make-believe. This isn't a legend. This is real. When you study the Quran, you study legends. When you study any history book, you're studying legends. But the Bible is for real. It's the real thing. Verse number 8, and Jesus answered and said to him, it is written, you shall worship Jehovah your God and serve him only. He's talking to him. You shall. Satan, you shall worship Jehovah, your Elohim, your Creator, and him only. The word Jehovah there, that means the covenant God, that means the Savior, and Elohim means Creator. And that's what this is what we call a Hebraism. It's brought from Hebrew into Greek, and then now it's translated into English. Verse number 9. And he led him to Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem, God chose to be his city, didn't he? That's where he would make himself known. And Jerusalem is called what? Jerusalem. What does Jerusalem mean? Ere means what in Hebrew? It means city. And Shalom means peace. Or agreement. Alright. So he takes him to Jerusalem. This is where God has decided to set his name and make himself known to the world. And he set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and where it was right here. Right here, and down below that Kidron Valley is very deep. Right here. Real deep. You can jump off that thing and roll all the way down that valley. I had a picture of that one time. There was a great big semi truck there with a trailer behind it, and it was just like this compared to that valley. It's deep. It's a precipice. And set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and he said to him, if you are the Son of God, and it's not if there in Greek, it's since you are the Son of God. He knew that he was the Son of God. Since you are the Son of God, cast yourself down from here, for it is written. Now he knows Scripture. Psalm 91, 11, and 12 is what he's quoting. He will give you his angels charge concerning you to guard you. And on their hands they shall bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. He said, just go out there and jump. But if he would have jumped, the angels would have borne him up. But what would have happened? He would have succumbed to the wiles of Satan. The snake, the Nahash, became more deceitful
than all of the other beasts of the field. And even in the millennial reign, the snake is still cursed because he's still going to walk on his belly. Before that, he walked with on feet, legs. Verse number 12 now. And Jesus answered and said to him, "It is said, it is said, you shall not force a test on the Lord your God." You know what he's saying to him here? Someone tell me what it really says. Satan, do not tempt the Lord your God. Satan, you are trying to tempt me, and I am the Lord your God. Do not do it. Do not do it. Do not tempt the Lord. I am your creator, Satan. I am your creator. I am the Lord your God. One of these days you will answer to me. Okay? Who is he? He is a Leviathan of old, and he is Behemoth of old. When the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Verse number 14. And Jesus returned to Galilee. What does Galilee mean? Galilee means what? Circle. In the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through all the surrounding districts, all of the cities around the Sea of Galilee. And he kept on teaching in synagogues and was praised by all. Now, this area here, especially Capernaum, I had forgotten the name of this for a long, long time. It's Via Maris. Via Maris. Via Maris. Have you ever heard of Via Della Rosa? That's the way of sorrow. Via Maris means the royal, that means purple. The royal highway. Galilee, there at Capernaum, was a trade route of purple. The king's trade route, where all of the trade routes of the Middle East was, this was the grand highway of the whole Middle East. So anything that Jesus did there was going to be known through Egypt, through Arabia, every place else is going to be known from all over. This is the main highway. Grand Central Station. Tell it in Grand Central Station and it'll go throughout the world. And so news about him spread throughout Via Maris. And he kept on teaching in synagogues and was praised by all. And he came to Nazareth. Nazareth means what? Root or branch. Where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, and he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. All right? In every synagogue, there was one priest, one Levite, and five ordinary Israelites that would lead the services. And there had to be at least 10 people to make up a quorum for a synagogue, and women and children didn't count. A boy counted after he was 13 years old. He was part of the quorum. But there was one priest, one Levite, and five ordinary Israelites. All right? And there was a whole lot of Pharisees in there, too. He came to Nazareth, where he was brought up, as was his custom. He entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. Now, they knew all about him, didn't they? All of his life, he'd been in the synagogue. They knew who he was. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written, "And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim," or literally what it means, "to proclaim forgiveness of sins to the captives, and recover the sight of the blind. Now, this is the credentials of the Messiah. No one else will ever have this. When he was speaking these words, they knew this was, he was saying that he was the Messiah. These are messianic credentials. Okay? Recover the sight of the blind and to set free those who are downtrodden and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Now, that isn't the whole story, but that's exactly what he read. Isaiah 61 and verse 1. And he closed the book and gave it back to the sergeant of arms, to the attendant, and he sat down. And what he would do, he would sit down to teach and answer questions. He would get up and read, and then he would sit down in Moses' seat to answer questions. There was a chair up there. And he sat down, and the eyes of all the synagogue were upon him, were fixed upon him. Teachers always sat while they talked. They did not stand up like preachers. They sat. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." What did he say? What did Jesus just say, Brother Mike? What did he say? I'm the Messiah. Do you have no misunderstanding about that, is there? I'm the Messiah. Now they knew that he'd been out in the wilderness. They knew he'd been tempted by Behemoth and Leviathan. All of this. And now he comes and he starts speaking to them, verse number 22. And all were speaking well of him and wondering at the gracious words which were falling from his lips. And they were kept on saying, "Is this not Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "No doubt you will quote this proverb to me, physicians, heal yourself. Whatever we heard was done at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well." All right. Verse number 25. "But I say to you in truth, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, when a great famine came over all the land, yet Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. And all in the synagogue were filled with rage when they heard these things." They became mad. They wanted to kill. They wanted to kill. The Word of God will do one or two things to God's people, or to people. It'll either make you repent or make you mad. You'll repent or you get mad. And they got mad. They weren't going to repent. "And they rose up and cast him out of the city. They led him to the brow of a hill, to a cliff, like over here what the devil did, the precipice, on which their city had been built, in order to throw him off and down the cliff. But passing through the midst, he went his way, and he came to Capernaum." Why did he go to Capernaum? Capernaum means beloved covering. Kafar Nahom. Comes from two Hebrew words, Kafar Nahom, beloved covering. That was the grand central station of the Middle East. This is the place where all the news was spread to him and all of the nations around about. "The city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on Sabbath days." Verse number 32. "And they were continually amazed at his teaching, for his message was with authority." He was the God of the Bible. How much more authority could you get than that? "And there was a man in the synagogue possessed by the spirit of an unclean demon." Look at that now. We've got another behemoth in a person now, don't we? We've got another demon in a person, possessing a person. "And he cried out with a loud voice, 'Ha! What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know that you are the Holy One of God.' And Jesus rebuked him and said, 'Be quiet. literally what he told him, he said, shut your mouth. And in the Greek it says, Eeyah! That's what he said, Eeyah! That's the scream of a demon. I think some of this rock music today has got some of that in it. Boy. Noise. And Jesus rebuked him and said, shut your mouth and come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he went out of him, doing harm, without doing him any harm. Verse number 38. And amazement came upon all of them. And they kept on discussing with one another and saying, what is this message? For with authority and with power, he commands the unclean spirits and they come out of him. He is the God of even the demons. He is the master of the demons. And so Jesus came into this world, the whole world was at the mercy of demons. Did you know that? The whole world was at mercy of demons. But once Jesus Christ came into this world, he began to show us that he had power even over the spirits of evil. Over Leviathan. Over Behemoth. Over Satan himself. And all of his emissaries. Verse number 37. And the report, the news about him was getting out in every direction from the locality surrounding the district. Why? Because this is Via Maris. This is the roadway to the whole Middle East. Verse number 38. And he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Who's Simon? What is his Hebrew name? Simon. What is the Hebrew word for this? Not Simon, but what? Simeon, which means one who hears. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high, violent, hot, flaming fever. That's what it says. I'm just explaining that to you from Greek, okay? And they made a request to him on her behalf. And standing over her, he rebuked the fever, and it left her. Now, is he the God over disease? Does he have power over disease? Now, he's showing them all of his messianic credentials. The words that he spoke in Nazareth, he is proving that he is the one. That I am the Messiah. All of these are his messianic credentials. We're almost finished. And she immediately arose and kept on waiting on them. Now she went from an invalid to a servant. We're all invalids, aren't we? Invalids when it comes to the power of Satan. But when God saves our soul, we have power over it. Does Satan ever leave you alone? Does he ever leave you alone, even after you've been saved? He'll send you doubts about your salvation. He will send you doubts about what you want to do, but what you want to do with your life. Doubts, 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 doubts. All of your life. But just look back to these scriptures and you'll see one thing, power, demons over all evil. Verse number 40, when God saves you, you can become a servant. And while the sun was setting, and all who had any sick with various diseases brought them to him, and laying his hands on every one of them, he was healing them. Proving that he was the Messiah. That he truly was the Messiah. Verse number 41. And demons were coming out of many, crying out and saying, you are the Son of God. And rebuking them, he would not allow them to speak because they knew him to be the Christ. But he was cruising himself to Christ in every place. Verse number 42. And when day came, he departed and went to a lonely place. And the multitudes were searching for him, and he came to him, and he tried to keep him from going away from them. And he said to them, I must preach to the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose. And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Well, we got a whole chapter today. And a whole lot of Jewish history, didn't we? A whole chapter and a whole lot of Jewish history. Do you have any questions with all of this?
Well, it looks like God had a fight on his hands.
right. God had a fight on His hands, and I'm going to tell you something. When you're born in this world, you're born fighting. When you're saved, you're going to be born fighting all of your life. When you're saved, it's not the end of everything. It's the beginning of a battle. You know what? You know who's going to win that battle? I got news for you. It's going to be the Lord. It's going to be the Lord who wins the battle. Any questions? Anything? Mother Montana, you got any? What?
Miriam
was Moses' sister.
What?
Yeah, she was the firstborn of his mother, of her mother and father. She was the firstborn, and then Aaron was born.
Okay.
Miriam means bitter. Aaron means light or enlightened. Okay? Brother Montana, you want to come up here and dismiss us in prayer, brother?
Sure.
No other questions?
Dear Lord, I just want to thank you for this day, and I just thank you that we get to hear your word and just learn about what you have to say, dear God. And I pray you'll just bless this time that we had, and just bless the rest of our day in your name, amen.
Amen. Well, go out and do something eternal. And all of you over there in China, if you're listening today, God bless you. And I hope these words comfort you and give you strength. Because he that is in you is he that is greater than anything in this world, including governments. Amen.